Paul Robeson, who was born in 1898, said in the 1960s, after a public reading in Toronto, that he had but one purpose in life, quote, to fight for my people, that they shall walk this earth as free as any man. In 1915, the 6'3" teenager had won a full academic scholarship to Rutgers, and in his football tryout had been ganged up on by the all-white players. Suffering a broken nose and a dislocated shoulder, Robeson thought of dropping out. But his father, a boyhood slave born in the South, who, as a free man, had later worked his way through Lincoln University and had qualified as a Presbyterian priest, had always exhorted his youngest son to fight for what was right. So, heeding his father, Paul stayed at Rutgers and wound up All-American, as well as, at the age of 21, valedictorian. By 25, while singing and waiting in restaurants as well as acting in the summers, he was not only finishing up a law degree at Columbia, but had married Eslanda Good, or Essie, a young black writer. While still in law school, Robeson had made a small name for himself acting in a Harlem YMCA production of Simon the Cyrenian, and had been invited to act in a summer play in Provincetown, All God's Chillen Got Wings, by Eugene O'Neill. After completion of his law degree, he got a job in an all-white law firm in Manhattan. But when a secretary refused to take dictation from him, he resigned. Furthering his acting and always getting good or rave reviews, by the 1930s he was in demand as an actor and singer in both Europe and America. He sang in many places, including to unemployed miners in Wales, always identifying with the downtrodden. His education and friendly personality caused more than a few women in the London theatre to fall in love with him. At one point, the British upper-class would-be actress Yolande Jackson was ready to marry him, and Essie was ready to divorce, although in fact Essie and Paul, not always living together, actually remained married until her death in 1965. The 1950s were Cold War years, and Robeson's friendly comments about the USSR did not go down well. For a planned Robeson concert in Peekskill, New York, fans were attacked with rocks and bottles amid shouts that Robeson was a dirty commie, although in fact Robeson was never a member of the Communist Party. Details of this may be found in Duberman's extensively annotated biography. Anti-Soviet hysteria at this time also caused the State Department to cancel Robeson's passport, not revalidated until 1958. In Robeson's own words, "The denial of my passport is proof of nothing except the State Department's high-handed disregard of civil liberties." In the 60s, he was hospitalized for depression and suicidal feelings in Moscow, London, and New York. After Essie's death, he spent his last decade living quietly with his sister in Philadelphia, choosing to see fewer and fewer people, and dying in 1976. Finally, I find it interesting to muse whether our present administration would have treated this son of a slave any differently.